this morning on WCHL. Local elected officials are meeting to get a grasp on where military surplus vehicles are in Orange County and who's in charge of them.
It's difficult to have a conversation with a lack of information.
A hang-up with a 911 operator early yesterday morning lands one person in jail after a domestic dispute escalates to assault charges. North Carolina sees its first unemployment increase in 2 years. And Chapel Hillians are adding to the ever-growing fundraising efforts of the Ice Bucket Challenge.
It's unprecedented.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill coverage, traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC's defense is ready to build off the success of Act 2 of the 2013 football campaign. Plus, the Carolina men's soccer team puts a goal up on the local minor league soccer team. And
the Ice Bucket Challenge is a very cool gimmick to jumpstart lukewarm fundraising.
That's this morning at our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 71 degrees in Chapel Hill. Relatively warm this morning. Partly sunny today. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms later on in the day. Our high today in the upper 80s. So just a few degrees warmer than yesterday. Locally elected officials are working now to find out which law enforcement agencies here in Orange County have received military surplus items from the federal government. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Carrboro Alderperson Damon Siles said he'd like to know more about the military surplus gear received by law enforcement agencies in Orange County, and that some of his elected counterparts in Chapel Hill and Hillsborough are telling him the same thing. Siles also told WCHL that he and fellow alderpersons have been trying to answer a lot of questions about that from constituents over the past few days.
The lingering conversation that's been going on over the past few years, one of my frustrations during that period has been that it's difficult to have a conversation with a lack of information.
That lingering conversation likely started in Chapel Hill back on November 13, 2011. That's when a Chapel Hill SWAT team, armed with assault rifles and dressed in riot gear, forced Occupy protesters out of the Yates Motor Company building off Franklin Street. Many citizens expressed alarm at what was called excessive force. Now, as the tragic events in Ferguson, Missouri play out daily, new evidence gives Orange County citizens reason to suspect that the trend of militarized law enforcement could potentially be a problem here at home. As WCHL reported Monday, a recent New York Times story contains Department of Defense data that shows Orange County has received more military surplus armored vehicles than any other North Carolina county. The location of just one of those six vehicles has been revealed, thanks to information obtained during an investigation by the ACLU of North Carolina last year. Orange County Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass responded that his department received one such vehicle in 2007 for hostage and barricade situations, but it has never been used. Carrboro and Hillsborough were not asked by the ACLU, but Siles told WCHL that the Carrboro Police Department does not participate in the so-called 1033 program of the Department of Defense, although it, quote, may have in the past. Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens also weighed in, telling WCHL that the town's police department does not own armored vehicles. Last year, when the ACLU investigation of the state's 60 largest law enforcement agencies was conducted, a senior legal advisor for the Chapel Hill Police Department replied to the ACLU that the department had, quote, no documents responsive, end of quote, to a request for information about armored vehicles, and several other information requests were left unsatisfied as well. Communications Director Mike Mino of the ACLU of North Carolina said the ACLU has reached out to hundreds of police departments across the country and found that many were reluctant to provide information about participating in 1033. But some facts can't be hidden so easily. The ACLU has determined that nearly 80% of SWAT raids in the U.S. are currently launched to serve low-level arrest warrants, usually for drug offenses. That's a far cry from a SWAT team dealing with a mass shooter or a hostage crisis. Mino said it's often a case of mission creep. Departments will obtain military gear for one specific purpose, and eventually the gear is being used regularly.
Very often it's law enforcement who are introducing violence into what is an otherwise nonviolent situation. And I think one of the things we find really concerning is that there's so little oversight and transparency.
He said the ACLU urges municipal governments to impose meaningful restraints on local law enforcement regarding the uses of military weapons and tactics. Mino said the investigations by the ACLU also confirmed what a lot of people may have already figured out from watching the Ferguson situation on TV. SWAT raids are conducted disproportionately on people of color.
You know, just locally in Chatham County, the numbers we got back showed that there was a 15-to-1 racial disparity where a black person was 15 times more likely to be the subject of a SWAT raid than a white person.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pro Tem Sally Green told WCHL on Monday that she planned to meet that afternoon with Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, Police Chief Chris Blue, and Town Manager Roger Stansel to discuss the New York Times report. Green said to expect a coordinated statement sometime this week. Carrboro Alderperson Siles says he's been discussing the issue of police militarization with Carrboro Police Chief Walter Horton, as well as Town Manager David Andrews. Siles said that more information will be available in the coming days as the town of Carrboro also releases a public statement. WCHL is waiting to hear back from the North Carolina State Highway Patrol about the patrol station on US 70 in Hillsboro. We'll keep you informed. You can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A 911 hang-up at about 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday led Carrboro police officers to the Berkshire Manor West Apartments on North Carolina 54 next to Carrboro Plaza.
Made contact with somebody in the parking lot, and as a result of the investigation, determined that it had been a domestic dispute that had actually turned into an assault.
That is Captain Chris Atak. Captain Atak says the victim was cut with a cutting implement, which he says the exact description of is not being released at this time, and was treated by EMS at the scene.
And as a result, Dana Crisp was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious injury, and was processed by the police department and taken to Hillsboro.
31-year-old Dana Marie Crisp is a resident of the Berkshire Manor West Apartments. Crisp is scheduled to appear in court in Orange County on the morning of Thursday, August 28th. The editor-in-chief of UNC's student-produced daily newspaper will finish her undergraduate career just where she started, behind the desk of the paper that is highly regarded throughout the community. Jenny Serrain ran unopposed for the position of editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel and takes over as the new school year begins. According to the DTH, Serrain started with the campus newspaper in her freshman year. The DTH has been at the forefront of nearly every major story dealing with not only the university, but also the entire Chapel Hill Carrboro community. This morning, at about 7:30, Jenny Serrain will join Rand Northam and me live in the WCHL studios to discuss what her vision is for the paper in the upcoming year. Unemployment claims jumped in July, both nationally and in North Carolina, marking the first increase in the state since June of 2012. Nearly 20,000 fewer people were employed from June to July, according to the state's Department of Commerce. However, jobless claims didn't greatly rise, showing a 0.1% increase to 6.5%. Might not be telling the whole story. Only about 5,300 more people claimed to be without a job in July. The numbers are still greatly improved from the previous year. In July of 2013, 8.1% of the state's population claimed to be unemployed. Nationally, the shift went from 6.1% to 6.2%, which is 1.1% better than a year ago. The county-by-county figures are scheduled to be released August 27th. To see the complete breakdown of the state and national unemployment rate for July, you can read this story on our website, chapelboro.com. A new report suggests the decision by Governor Pat McCrory and Republican lawmakers not to expand Medicaid coverage through the Affordable Care Act will cost North Carolina $51 billion in lost federal payments over the next decade. The study issued by the nonpartisan Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Urban Institute says the state will lose nearly $40 billion in Medicaid funding to the state and more than $11 billion in reimbursements to North Carolina hospitals. It's estimated about 319,000 low-income workers would have gained health insurance coverage had the state expanded Medicaid. McCrory says the state system is too broken to expand. Republican legislative leaders said reforming the system was among their top legislative priorities for 2014, but appear poised to adjourn without approving a plan. And differences over Republican philosophy are fueling some extended wrangling over the final measures before the North Carolina General Assembly. Lawmakers grappled again yesterday with a multi-part measure that includes county sales taxes, tax benefits for a Haywood County paper mill, expanded tax breaks for new businesses, and setting aside $20 million to lure new manufacturers. Republicans meeting in committee disagreed over whether the bill involves corporate welfare or encourages jobs, limits county sales taxes, or prompts them to rise. The Senate has insisted the House pass the bill before it will allow a fix to the state budget signed last week by the governor that threatens to force layoffs of classroom teaching assistants. House Speaker Tom Tillis says he expects lawmakers to complete work by Thursday of this week. WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time for traffic and weather together. We'll start with traffic. Here's Rand.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still a great start to the day as far as traffic is concerned. No problems out there. You might see the usual slowdowns. Look out for the taillights. But if you see anything major that we're not reporting and any time throughout the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can be a WCHL Road Warrior by sending us a tweet at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely. Ron, right now I'm working on posting the video of none other than Larry Fedora taking the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he took it. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait those 11 extra days. Actually, it would have been 12 days yesterday. But he couldn't wait those extra days to make it to the Liberty game. He said 20-plus challenges he's gotten from people all over. So, of course, the biggest one coming from Roy Williams, who said he wanted to see it on kickoff Saturday against Liberty. But took the challenge with the coaching staff yesterday, and that within the next 5 minutes is going to be posted on our website at chapelboro.com.
Got a whole bunch of them on there now.
Yeah, that's right, we do. Yeah. We've got probably close to 10 videos now we've posted of Ice Bucket Challenges just in Chapel Hill alone.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well,
very
looking,
cool.
Looking forward to the, no pun intended.
Nicely done.
Looking forward to the editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel in here in just a few minutes.
That's right. She should be just around the corner from us.
All right. That sounds good. We'll talk to her at 7:30 this morning. And, Rand, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Turning now to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, it looks, pretty cloudy. I'm not going to say it looks like a great day. We will have some sunshine, a 30% chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms and low around 70. And then tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny, 20% chance for showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high in the low 90s tomorrow, 71 degrees. This weather forecast has been brought to you by the aforementioned Carolina football. Tar Heels kicking off the season August 30th at 6 p.m. You can have a game day experience for less than half the normal price by a Carolina football family pack. 4 tickets to the Liberty game, a $20 voucher for concessions, and a $10 voucher for merchandise, all for $100. Go to chapelboro.com and click on the Carolina football family pack.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get any place else. This is WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 7:19. Rand mentioned it. Let's talk about the Ice Bucket Challenge. This is an effort to raise money and to raise awareness for ALS, and it has gone viral. The results are unlike any the supporters of finding a cure for the disease have ever seen.
Unprecedented. I think that it's undeniably raising the name recognition of the disease. And if only a portion of those people actually learn more about it, that's a huge improvement.
As Chapel Hilligan Vivian Connell, who was diagnosed with ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis earlier this year, ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease as it's commonly known, is a progressive neurodegenerative disease that attacks the spinal cord and nerve cells of the brain. Public figures nationally have been taking the challenge, from ESPN television anchors to professional athletes, late-night talk show hosts to everyday individuals. Here in Chapel Hill, Mayor Mark Kleinsmith, UNC Chancellor Carol Folt, men's basketball head coach Roy Williams, and football coach Larry Fedora, as Rand just mentioned, and a host of others have participated. Friday morning, Connell's husband and 2 children released videos of their participation in the Ice Bucket Challenge.
For me and for my 2 law school classmates who both had parents diagnosed within 2 or 3 months of my diagnosis, if you can believe that, 3 families out of 1 law school class of 270, it's extremely encouraging. It's extremely encouraging, and it gives you a feeling of empowerment when, in fact, you are medically and clinically helpless.
Vivian's husband, Paul Connell, is the play-by-play voice for high school football and basketball in UNC women's and men's soccer here on WCHL. He's self-employed with PMC Brand Management and says he's worked casually with a few campaigns for ALS over the years. He says he's seen the Ice Bucket Challenge raise the awareness level to the highest it's been in 75 years since Lou Gehrig gave the memorable speech in Yankee Stadium. He adds that he's been told millions of dollars have gone to organizations which are directly responsible for awareness and research because of the challenge. The ALS Association reported that as of Monday, $15.6 million have been raised through the Ice Bucket Challenge. In the same time frame last year, the organization had raised only $1.8 million. And Vivian Connell says the timing couldn't be any better.
The stem cell trials that are going on are the most exciting thing in ALS ever.
The stem cell research involves drilling holes into the spinal column and injecting undifferentiated stem cells, cells which have not been formatted for a specific duty, in the hopes that they'll repair the motor neurons that are dying. Of course, the research for the procedure and the procedure itself is expensive, but with nearly $16 million and counting, great strides could be made to see videos of many local figures taking the Ice Bucket Challenge, including Coach Larry Fedora, or to donate to the cause. You can find this story on our website at chapelboro.com. And also, Art Chansky has a few words to say about this coming up in just a few minutes on WCHL. It's 7:22. Time for championship sports. UNC defensive coordinator Vic Cunning will be looking to build off the momentum of his unit's success in the latter half of the 2013 football campaign. Armed with more experience and more confidence, the Tar Heels on the defensive side of the football are eager to make some noise this fall. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
Senior linebacker Travis Hughes figures to be a pivotal piece of the Carolina defensive puzzle in 2014. Hughes tallied 76 tackles, including 40 solo stops, in a productive junior season. But Hughes says the defense aims to up the ante and be even more disruptive in his final go-around in Chapel Hill.
That's why we Coach Vic instituted this little packager that we do here, and we're trying to take this big play away. I mean, we're trying to cause the big play by getting interceptions. Anything we can. So we're trying to be a fast, speedy defense that's going to run around to the ball and eliminate all of that.
But there's some worrying news surrounding defensive tackle Ethan Farmer. It remains up in the air whether the senior leader will take the field in Keenan Stadium 11 days from now due to eligibility issues. Hughes, though, says the situation is out of his control and the team is dealing with the possibility of Farmer's absence and will be prepared either way.
It's definitely a concern, but I mean, Ethan is a positive guy. And we all praying for him and everything like that. So there's nothing that we can do except pray and make sure that he stays encouraged. And he encourages everybody out here. So Ethan comes out here with so much energy and so much, electric. I mean, he got them guys ready. So I feel good with Ethan, and I'm hoping everything goes well for him.
Promising redshirt sophomore cornerback Des Lawrence made a big splash a year ago in the Tar Heel secondary. But the NC native says he's much more at ease this season, knowing exactly what it takes to perform successfully in the ACC.
I'm a little bit more experienced. I know what the game feels like. I have the nerves out. Of course, you still have nerves before a game starts, but I feel more comfortable. I believe in myself more, and I just know I'm going out there to fight for my teammates every game.
A reoccurring theme in preseason training camp has been communication. Lawrence again stresses how much more chatty his teammates have been in the lead-up to Liberty.
Before every play, we're talking a whole bunch before the ball is snapped, just making sure everybody's on the same key and accord. So I feel like we're good. We're gonna be fast and physical this year.
Another running motif expressed by a handful of UNC players has been the improved team chemistry. Overall, Lawrence says he feels a more powerful sense of camaraderie in the team huddle this summer.
This year, we feel it's like last year was a brotherhood, but this year, like, we're really buying into what the coaches are telling us. We're really believing in the calls and everything we do. We really want to be out there and make plays for one another.
Freshman cornerback MJ Stewart has been turning heads ever since he arrived on campus. Few would be surprised to see Stewart spend a majority of his Saturdays on the field, especially if the Tar Heels choose to go with two cornerbacks. Stewart's play has been catching the attention of sophomore Brian Walker. He says Stewart is the total package.
An edge about him. He's real aggressive. He's confident in himself. He knows. He came here with great technique. You know, he knew everything, man, zone. He knows how to play. He's a smart player, doesn't make that many mistakes. So he really doesn't play like a freshman. You know, he knows how to play corner. He really wants to help the team. I think that's what really helps him out and what people really love about him.
There's more attention being paid to the athletic array of talent flying around the Carolina secondary these days, following the taste offered up by Walker and company in 2013. Walker says he's embracing the hype and is looking forward to backing it up with more highlights.
I think because we did a pretty good job last year. You know, I played a little bit more than Dez, but Dez did a great job at safety. He played safety and corner. And I think that's what people really enjoy about him. He can play two positions. You know, we made a couple plays, and I think that's what people really want to follow up on.
Plenty of eyes will certainly be on Lawrence, Walker, and the rest of the Tar Heel defense as the finishing touches are put on the game plan for the number 23-ranked North Carolina team. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And the countdown to Carolina football is now 11 days. Tar Heels 11 days away from opening the season against Liberty on August 30th in Kenan Stadium. And, of course, your flagship station for Carolina football is WCHL. After a two-hour rain delay last night at Fetzer Field, the UNC men's soccer team was able to put one goal in the back of the net on the local minor league soccer team. However, the Carolina Railhawks netted two for the exhibition win. First half was fairly even. Each team recorded four shots over the 40-minute session. The only difference, the 1-0 lead in the scoreboard for the visiting Railhawks. Aaron King netted a goal off a feed from Nick Zimmerman in the 27th minute. King struck again in the 45th minute to stake the Railhawks to a 2-0 advantage. Tar Heels closed the gap later in the second half when freshman Zach Wright found the back of the net in the 57th minute. Wright nearly tied the game in the 68th minute when he took advantage of a Railhawk giveaway deep in its own end. But keeper Scott Goodwin, a former Tar Heel All-America, stretched for the save. North Carolina wraps up its exhibition season on Saturday at Wake Forest. Kickoff from Winston-Salem is scheduled for 7 o'clock. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Editor-in-Chief of the Daily Tar Heel, Jenny Seren, coming up at the bottom of the hour here on WCHL with Rand Northam and me. It is 7:27.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Ice Bucket Challenge is a very cool gimmick to jumpstart lukewarm fundraising. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. The Ice Bucket Challenge existed before former college baseball player Peter Freights and his new team, dubbed the Freight Train, adopted it to take on the deadly disease that afflicts as many as 30,000 Americans at any given time. When Freights was diagnosed with ALS in 2012, he was told his life expectancy was 2 to 5 years, and most of that time would be without the use of his bodily functions. Just before his diagnosis, he got engaged, and almost 2 years in, he was still healthy enough to conceive a child with his new bride. But now the progressive neurodegenerative disease has robbed Freights of his speech and bound him to a wheelchair. In one of his last ambulatory acts, Freights spoke to a committee on Capitol Hill and asked for more resources for the fight against what is commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, because in 1936 it struck down one of the most popular baseball players of all time. The list of celebrities who have also died from ALS is long, and you would have to assume most of them could afford the best care possible. But so far, the ALS Association has not been able to raise enough money for research to learn anything substantially new over the last 50-plus years. Team Freight Train adopted the Ice Bucket Challenge, and videos of high-profile people and regular folks being doused with freezing ice and water have gone viral, along with perpetuating challenges along the way. Roy Williams did it while in Nassau for a couple of exhibition games, and he in turn challenged his entire team to do it, along with UNC football coach Larry Fedora. Through every channel of social media, the challenges have spread like wildfire, along while raising donations to the ALS Association by more than 400% compared to last year. It has become a remarkable story of one victim and his friends taking a gimmick nationwide and worldwide to draw attention to a cause that really needs it. Turning a bucket of ice and water over someone's head seems like a silly way to fight ALS, but if it works, let the cold hard fun continue, because it is turning attention to some cold hard facts that for some reason medical science has never quite warmed up to. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. It's 50% off, $20 worth of food and drink available today for only $10. Picture the perfect intimate and relaxed gathering spot. Oasis is the place. Located in downtown Carborough inside Carmel Mall, it operates as a coffee house, tea room, wine bar, and cafe during the day. At night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. It's 50% off from Oasis at Carmel. And it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste break guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
Switzer with the Jets, and he's done it again.
WCHL presents Carolina Football. The Tar Heels are ready for the 2014 season, year three of the Larry Fedora era. And we'll have every single play every time the Tar Heels hit the field, starting with Liberty, Saturday, August 30th in Kingy Stadium. Our exclusive coverage always starts 3 hours before game time with Countdown to Kickoff. Game coverage from Jones Angel and the crew and the Tar Heel Network. It's the beginning of something great. Carolina Football on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. WCHL.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the Carolina Inn. It is 71 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Partly sunny, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s. Hopefully not any rain like we had yesterday and last night. Tonight, we're looking at partly cloudy skies. Still 30% chance of rain. Low tonight, about 70. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a 20% chance of rain in the afternoon. And a little warmer tomorrow with a high in the low 90s. As I said, 71 degrees right now. The weather forecast brought to you by the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. You can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and his talented culinary team at Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732 at WCHL, as I mentioned, 71 degrees, the beginning of a fairly good day. We will have some sunshine. I'm Rod Stutz, and as mentioned, Rand Northam is here in the WCHL studios this morning, and Rand has a special guest.
Thank you very much, Ron. Yeah, we're joined with the editor-in-chief at the Daily Tar Heel, Jenny Serrane. Jenny, good morning, and thanks for coming to join us this morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so last year's top story had to be Mary Willingham's forthcoming with information she believed to uncover further academic scandal outside of just the improprieties of African and Afro-American studies at UNC. Obviously, we're awaiting Kenneth Weinstein's report as he continues to investigate UNC and try to uncover everything that there is to uncover. But putting you on the spot here, first thing Tuesday morning, early this morning, what do you foresee as the top story of 2014-2015 as it stands right now?
Yeah, well, I don't want to give away all of our secrets.
Sure, of course.
But I think the stories that we'll definitely be paying attention to are kind of the tying up of those scandals. And I think we really are interested in pushing that story forward this year. We really want to know how the university will respond and actually change in response to these scandals that have kind of racked us for many, many years, at least in all the years that I've been here. So that's something that we've definitely been talking to the administration about and that my university desk team is really, really focused on this year.
I feel like the Rashad McCants comments kind of blew it up a little bit more than we were first expecting. And Mr. Weinstein was expecting to have the information released. He was hoping to before the school year got started, and now we've missed that mark. How much longer do you see this going before we hear from Mr. Weinstein? Do you have any kind of date in mind what you would expect?
Well, I checked in with him last week, and he said that he's still diligently working on the report and that he hopes to have something this fall. So no specific date that he could give me. But I think we're happy with his process. I think the more information that we can get, the better. We've had several reports done on the scandal before, and none of them have answered all the questions yet. And so if his can really get at the root of the problem, then that would be great for us and more information for our readers. And so that's what we're really interested in getting.
We're speaking with Daily Tar Heel Editor-in-Chief Jenny Serrane. And who have you found are your top readers? And are Carolina students generally interested in the news of the university and the community and really the nation when you spread out and cover the national stories as well?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think our top readers are, I really do believe students care. I really do think that they want to know what's going on in their university, and I really think they also like that we give them stories about Chapel Hill and about the state legislature and the state goings-on, and I think they like that we put a kind of a UNC angle on it and tell them how it matters to them. But I also think we have a really great readership in UNC's faculty. I think they pick up the paper, and I see them reading it on the buses on the way to class in the morning. And it's always good to see that we can be a resource for not just students, but for the faculty and then the Chapel Hill community at large. So.
And in a DTH article, you talk about social media being a major part of your plan and your desires to continue with that. What have outlets like Twitter and Facebook done for print media?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think... As for us, targeting millennials especially, I think that's just how we introduce them to print. So my idea this year is that we have our bread and butter, our print paper, the thing that we spend all our nights working on and put all of our hard work into. And I think students can continue to find analysis and really great breaking news and really great enterprise and investigations there. But we can introduce them to that through Twitter and social media. And hopefully they'll find it through online and then turn to us in print for the analysis and great graphics and all of the great stuff that you can only find in print. So.
And last year there was a big shift in the DTH's website.
Yeah.
To look, it looks very mobile now. I'm sure that was a big plan to kind of get that shift towards people who are more mobily inclined, I guess.
Yeah, we have spent years working on this website, so we were really hoping to roll it out with a bang, and I think students have really liked it so far. We reorganized it so that it's a little bit more intuitive for our readers versus intuitive for us, and so I think it's been a really great push, and yes, it's more mobile. That's how most students are actually accessing our website, so I think we really wanted to meet them where they were finding us.
So if you see a student looking down at its phone, that might be what it's looking at, you know, walking through the streets.
For sure.
You know, Rand, I was struck by something Jenny said a moment ago. She said she has never known a moment when she was on the UNC campus as a student when this scandal wasn't hanging over everybody's head.
Right.
You know, as someone who's been here a long, long time, that fits into a long stretch. But for you, I mean, that's been a part of your whole Carolina experience. I know you're hoping for better things this year.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'd love to see the university really learn from this and talk about how it's going to grow. I know Chancellor Folt and her entire team have said that they are really hoping to get past this and really make the university better for this. So it would be great to see this. It's all I've known, so it would be really great to see some bright spots this year.
Now, of course, today marks the first day of classes at UNC. How has move-in weekend gone as we take a look at the student body? And has this year seemed different to you, either on a personal basis or from what you're seeing other students experiencing this year?
Yeah. Well, I haven't moved in yet. I've been in the office. But I know we have had a lot of our freshmen and our sophomores into the office to visit and see if they'd like to apply and join. And all of them seem really happy to be back on campus. I'm not sure that there's anything really different this year. I know a lot of our residence halls have gotten renovated in the last few years, so I missed the mark. But they seem really happy with how they're looking, and I know our Department of Housing is planning a lot more, or planning at least one new dorm, and so I think everybody's really looking forward to seeing that next year.
Speaking with the Daily Tar Heel Editor-in-Chief Jenny Sherain, what first got you interested in journalism, and specifically with the DTH?
What first got me interested in journalism? My mom, really. It was, she was an executive at a hospital growing up, and she was so conscious of the local journalists that would cover her hospital. She said that she would go in. I've told this story a lot, but it's really what started it all. She'd go in to board meetings and meetings with her colleagues, and she said that every time they wanted to make a decision, they would run the newspaper test. And if it couldn't be on the front page from Charlotte of the Charlotte Observer, then they couldn't do it. And so I always loved hearing that, and it seemed so powerful, and I was drawn to that power, I guess. And the Daily Tar Heel specifically, I think you can't come to Carolina and not know the Daily Tar Heel, and so that's why I wanted to do it. I just think the paper has a really great, it has its finger on the pulse of Carolina, and I think we do a really good job of finding out what students are talking about and getting that into our pages and getting students' faces into our pages and getting what they're interested in and what they should know about as well, things that they might not know are happening but that they need to know. I think the Daily Tar Heel is a really great place to be defiant and really show what students want to know and would like to say.
And you jumped in headfirst, it sounds like, as a DTH also report, a DTH article also reported, starting the paper in your freshman year, starting with the paper then. Where do you want to go after graduation? Where can you see yourself after graduation?
Yeah, I'm a business journalism major, so hopefully I'll get to go somewhere where I can dabble in covering business. I've been at Bloomberg News my past two summers, and it's been just this incredible experience. So I definitely think I'm interested in covering business, whether on a local or national level, wherever I can find a job, really. But yeah, I think that's kind of the direction I see myself.
Well, you still got a full year, I'm sure, of lots of things that are going to be going on in and around Chapel Hill and UNC specifically. And we look forward to talking to you throughout the year to see what the DTH is doing and then and how you're covering things. Hope we can talk to you through the busy times that I'm sure this year will present. But thank you for joining us on the first day of classes and early this morning. But it's been great to talk to you, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot from you this year.
Of course, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Jenny, before you go, I just want to say that I went downtown yesterday to Sutton's and had lunch there. And if the kind of, you know, I had forgotten that it was the first day, first regular business day where all the students were back and everything else. And if the kind of the energy and everything else that I experienced when I was down there for a brief time is any indication of the student body this year, and particularly those freshmen coming in who some look kind of lost, and, you know, but a lot were really excited to be there, then this is going to be a heck of a year.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think we've got the best group of students yet to cover and to engage with, so I'm excited. It's going
to
be great.
All right. Well, as Rand said, I look forward to talking to you again throughout the year.
Thank you, Ron.
Jenny Serain, Editor-in-Chief, Daily Tar Heel. Always a pleasure to talk with anyone from the Daily Tar Heel. And Jenny's got some mighty big traditions to keep going there. And she looks like she's ready for the job, that's for sure. 7:42 at WCHL. Coming up, we have today's commentary from the Raging Grannies, Vicki Ryder. They are here to talk about fracking. And that is on the way next.
It's the Honda Summer Clearance Event at Crown Honda South Point with the best savings of the summer. The best. Drive off in a new 2014 Honda Accord sedan, CVT LX, or with no money down.
No money down.
That's right. Zero due at signing, zero security deposit, zero first month payment.
Zero.
The time to buy is now during the Honda Summer Clearance Event at Crown Honda South Point.
Crown Honda.
Located on South Point Auto Park Boulevard and SouthPointHonda.com.
Subject to credit approval, excludes taxes, tax, and fees. See dealer for details. Expires 9/24.
Your Carolina football team kicks off the 2014 season in Keenan Stadium on August 30th at 6 p.m. It's Carolina versus Liberty in the first game of the season. Now's your chance to buy a Carolina football family pack. You can get four tickets to the Liberty game, a $20 voucher for concessions, and $10 voucher for merchandise, all for $100. It's the best way to get the whole family together to experience the action and cheer for the Tar Heels. Come support Coach Larry Fedora and the Carolina football team in their exciting season opener versus Liberty on August 30th. Buy a football family pack now. Go to chapelboro.com and click on the Carolina football family pack.
It's back to school time. Are you ready? Hi, this is Barbara Jessie Black, Executive Director of the PTA Thrift Shop, and we can help you get ready for back to school with affordable clothes, accessories, furniture, and home decor. Stop by our Carrboro location Monday through Saturday, 8:30 to 6 p.m., and our Chapel Hill location Monday through Saturday, 8:30 to 6 p.m. We look forward to seeing you there. Happy thrift shopping from your PTA Thrift Shop family. The PTA Thrift Shop, so much more than a thrift store.
This is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 71 degrees in Chapel Hill, and we have a high today of about 88 on the way. More on the weather coming up, 7:44.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Vicki Ryder. As a grandmother, I wouldn't dream of giving my grandchildren water laced with arsenic and other deadly poisons, but that's exactly what I'd be doing if fracking comes to North Carolina. The politicians making life and death decisions for us in Raleigh voted to allow fracking before any guidelines were set in place to make it less dangerous. I say less dangerous, not safe, because there is no way to make fracking safe. When they lifted the moratorium, Tillis and McCrory promised to wait until safety rules were set. Now, they not only broke that promise, but passed laws making it a crime to reveal what toxins will be pumped into the ground and illegal for towns like Chapel Hill to keep frackers and their poisonous waste out. A recent study by two leading research centers has linked an alarming increase in birth defects to fracking. Don't let that happen here. You can have a say in our children's futures by sending your thoughts to the Oil and Gas Program Division of Energy, Mineral, and Land Resources, 1612 Mail Services Center, Raleigh, 27699. Don't hold back. The raging grannies don't. They say, by the light,
not the dark, but the light
of their poisonous waste.
Oh, haste makes waste.
Those fracking guys
we despise
want to profit from drilling down. We'll all see,
all of us, you and me,
mutant beings galore.
Oh, no such gore.
Five legs, four arms, three lips, such harm will be coming to town if we don't stop them now. This is Vicki Ryder.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
August is the official back-to-school season, so Performance Subaru is joining the old bandwagon with our own back-to-school event. We realize value is of paramount importance. That's why you'll always find outstanding value that extends to the wow experience. Listen to what Scott had to say about his Performance Subaru experience.
I bought my first Subaru yesterday, and my experience at Performance Subaru was great. The salesman, David Hickerson, was professional, knowledgeable, and made the entire process a joy.
Now that's a wow. During our back-to-school event, you can lease a 2014 Subaru Legacy Sedan 2.5i Premium for $229 per month.
Stock number D4662, model EAD02. 42-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $33.99 due at signing. Payment is plus NC taxes, registration, and $549 dealer admin fee. $0 security deposit. Based on MSRP of $24,931 and selling price $3,600. With approved credit, take delivery before 31 August 2014.
Performance Subaru loves to give back to the community, and in honor of our back-to-school event, our nonprofit highlight this month is PTA Thrift Shop. Learn more about their mission at ptathriftshop.org. Visit us at performancesubaru.com, where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40. Wow.
Hi, I'm Don Bassnight with Weaver Street Realty. If you've been renting for a while but want a place to call your own, give us a call. With interest rates still low, it really is a great time to buy. We'll connect you with good lenders so you understand your choices. Whether you want the bus line, a bike path, or a bush hog trail, our seasoned brokers can help you make a sound decision. Weaver Street Realty in downtown Carrboro for over 30 years, locally owned since day one.
Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace.
Oh, thank you very much, Ron. Still not seeing too many problems out there on the roadways right now, as the usual morning slowdowns might get you. The taillights might be popping up, and keep an eye on those. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can send us a tweet at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
You remember that time. Everybody getting adjusted now to
That's
that
right.
new Twitter handle.
Yeah,
so.
we've merged our Twitter handles together. We've always been one entity together, but now we are together on social media as well, at WCHL Chapelboro on Twitter.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cruisers Convenience Marketplace is the home of fresh brewed coffee. They serve it fast. It's guaranteed to taste great. Fill up this morning at Cruisers on your way to wherever you're going. It tastes great. Cruisers, good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 71 degrees, partly sunny today, 30% chance for showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high temperature today in the upper 80s. Tonight we're looking at partly cloudy skies, 30% chance of rain with a low around 70. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, 20% chance for showers and or thunderstorms. And the high tomorrow in the low 90s. Really hot weather tomorrow. And kind of muggy over the next several days here. 749 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond joins us now. Wayne, how are you this morning, big guy?
Hey, well, listen, I got to tell you, the granny's bit is a stroke of genius.
Well, I think the raging grannies are geniuses, actually.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they hit the sweet spot every time. And I have to tell you, I don't know Vicki Ryder.
Yeah.
But listening to her voice, you know, people like you and me, Ron, we have a thing for voices.
Yeah.
It takes me back to Albuquerque and the voice of Mrs. Frances Katz.
Really?
The mother of one of my good friends back in the 1950s. I mean, they are...
Wow.
It's absolutely eerie. Well, all of which has nothing to do with the word of the day, so onward and upward here with the word of the day. Boy, have I got a dandy for you this morning, Ron. The word of the day is zugma. Zugma.
Zugma.
Prepare yourself. Sharpen your pencil.
All right.
Sharpen your ears. The word of the day is Z-E-U-G-M-A. Zugma, it is pronounced. Z-E-U-G-M-A. We actually need, oh my goodness, in radio terms, an eternity. Another 2 or 3 minutes to explain this, but give me 10 or 15 seconds. This is a word that's all about yoking. Yoking. It is a rhetorical device, derives from antiquity, Greece, I would guess. Let me give you an example. He bolted the door and his dinner.
What?
Got it?
He what?
He bolted the door and his dinner. Bolted.
Oh.
We got two entirely different verbs governing two entirely different objects. Here's another one. Torpedoes hit their mark. Ship and many hopes sink. See?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
You got one verb fiddling around here with two or three objects. That is an example of zugma. Ron, I know your eyes have glassed over.
Not really. I'm just trying to think of a way to use that in a sentence.
It is a toughie. It is a toughie.
Yeah.
Z-E-U-G-M-A. Go look it up and read the definitions. It's related to several other rhetorical devices that we don't have time for this morning, but that eventually we may get to. So, all right, buddy, there's your word of the day. I hope you have a pleasant one, and watch those zugmas.
And there he is, ladies and gentlemen, the king of rhetoric, Wayne Pond. Wayne, have a good day, buddy.
Bye.
The word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 752. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. I started to say Freddie Cocker, but you don't look a bit like Freddie Cocker.
Hey, Ron.
Aaron Keck.
80s music reference.
Really? Yeah, what's going on?
Not a whole lot,
You'd
Ron.
Have to do a lot more than that.
That's
to convince
true.
Me that you
yeah, I need a mustache. I need to dye my hair.
That's right.
I need to be more dynamic and
start being more like Tigger. Like,
a little bit more like, ooh, ooh. That's my horrible Freddie Cocker impression. I need to learn how to do sport. I need to learn how to do basketball scoring.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to teach at Chapel Hill High School for a while.
History.
I need to room with you for a while.
You need to teach a course in Civil War.
Civil War
at UNC.
History. Yep, yep. Yeah. I need to be able to walk down Franklin Street and not be able to pass anyone without them saying, "Hey, Freddie," which is already I'm at a disadvantage because that's not my name. So,
well. Now that we've ragged on Freddie for a couple of minutes.
Hey, Freddie, how's it going?
All right.
We
man.
Love you.
See you too, buddy. What's going on with the joke today?
I've got a good one. I've got a short one. This is a quick one. So keep up. Why does a moon rock taste better than an earth rock?
Why does a moon rock taste better than an earth rock? That, I'm afraid, I don't know.
Because it's a little meteor.
And you're a little nutty.
Not as nutty as Freddie Kiger, though.
Well, that's probably
I'd
true.
Have a long way to go.
I have to throw myself in that category, too.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Rick Strunk, Associate Commissioner of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association in Chapel Hill, is today's WCHL Hometown Hero. You recently were inducted into the
North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame, and I know that that has to mean a lot to you.
Well, it certainly does, and I guess I would say I've not been inducted yet. The announcement's been made. The induction is in April. You know, for the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, this Hall of Fame is our biggest honor, but the really odd thing, and this is absolutely true, I'm the administrator for the Hall of Fame. I did not know that I was a candidate. I had not seen that particular application that our commissioner had asked my son to fill out. So imagine my surprise. I was humbled and deeply honored. I've always looked at my role, at least in part here, is to help other people. I hadn't really thought about my being in the same category as like a Charlie Adams or some of the other great coaches that have been a part of that. So it was quite a thrill, and we're looking forward to the activities during the year that will culminate with that induction.
It certainly is a much-deserved designation. You have quite a background in journalism. When did you start working at the association?
1843. Now, actually, I came to the association 28 years ago after being the sports information director at Furman University. Before that, I had worked at Lenoir Ryan in Hickory. I'd done their games on radio and television. Was sports director for a radio station for a while. So I had that background. I was one of the first guys hired by a state association with a media background in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mr. Adams, who was our executive director then, figured out I might be able to do some other things. So I got all of our special programs, like the Hall of Fame and Scholar Athlete, as well as all the media sorts of things that I have continued to do. The job has sort of morphed. It is, though, a real honor to work with every public high school in North Carolina, over 400 member schools of the association, to try to help those experiences be the best they can be.
Over nearly three decades, you have certainly provided a lot of service to the high school athletes around the state, coaches, everybody involved. Rick, during all that time, you've managed to have a family and have a life outside of work as well.
Well, I've been very blessed in the family department, married to my wife, 38 years, a high school sweetheart. Our kids grew up here, and now I've all moved away and are married and have jobs. And one of my real passions also is my work at Orange United Methodist Church, right on Martin Luther King in Chapel Hill, where I sing in the choir, teach Sunday school, those sorts of things. So that's been a real great community as well. So we've enjoyed being a part of the community. Our house is a little more quiet now with kids gone and doing their own thing.
Thanks for all that you've done over the years, and you are today's WCHL hometown hero. Congratulations, Rick Strunk.
Ron, thank you very much, and this is an honor I appreciate very much as well, and I'm glad to be in the same town as Ron Stutz and WCHL.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Have your office order online from Dickie's today. Now everyone can conveniently order and pay online. With 8 juicy hickory smoked meats to choose from, along with fresh home-style sides and salads, we will have something for everyone in the office. Order online at Dickies.com today. We will have it ready for you when you're ready. Dickies, where kids always eat free on Sunday and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Order online today and pick up in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, Crossroads Cary, or downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Tower.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates like our current special of 0.5% APY for 9 months with a minimum balance of $500. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this. Member FDIC.
Today's offer OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. It's 50% off, $20 worth of food and drink available today for only $10. Picture the perfect, intimate, and relaxed gathering spot. Oasis is the place. Located in downtown Carrboro inside Carmel Mall, it operates as a coffee house, tea room, wine bar, and cafe during the day. At night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. It's 50% off from Oasis at Carmel. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
71 degrees in Chapel Hill, and time now for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you this morning by Crown Honda of South Point. Partly sunny, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s. Hopefully we won't get the rain like we had yesterday. Boy, it was really coming down for a while, wasn't it? Tonight we're looking at partly cloudy skies, 30% chance of showers and thundershowers in the evening. Low tonight about 70. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. And the high tomorrow in the low 90s, so a little bit warmer coming tomorrow. Crown Honda of South Point is a home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service and Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Shootings and arrests in Ferguson, Missouri.
These are not acts of protesters, but acts of violent criminals.
California school plot foiled.
The death toll could have been devastating.
Losing a great voice.
It's Saturday Night Live.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. With the National Guard nearby, trouble again on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. Two people were shot, 31 arrested in the violent protests over the fatal police shooting of an unarmed black man. CBS's Steve Futterman begins our coverage.
There was more anger, more violence, and more frustration on the streets of Ferguson.
Why? Oh my God!
After what was mostly a peaceful Monday during the day, the mood changed last night.
We want the world to hear this.
I'm prepared to be arrested.
More militant protesters confronted police. They refused to obey orders to disperse.
You need to move within your designated area.
One group of around 100 was tear gassed. There were calls for nonviolence from more moderate protesters.
They need to stop. Take a look at what they're doing.
Also calling for nonviolence, the rap star Nelly, who grew up a few miles from Ferguson.
The rage, I understand it. Don't get me twisted. I understand it. But at the end of the day, what you gonna change?
Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson.
These are not acts of protesters, but acts of violent criminals.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Ferguson, Missouri.
I'm Peter Mayer on Martha's Vineyard. President Obama will have another White House briefing on the trouble in Ferguson before resuming his working vacation here. His immediate focus is on restoring law and order. He also expects a review of the post-9/11 use of federal funds for military gear for local police departments.
There is a big difference between our military and our local law enforcement, and we don't want those lines blurred. That would be contrary to our traditions.
Attorney General Holder travels to Ferguson tomorrow to meet with FBI agents and community leaders.
Now to South Pasadena, California, where CBS's John Blackstone tells us two teenage boys are under arrest for allegedly threatening to kill people at